Hello, everyone. We still have a few people trickling in and going to be hosting the Wednesday night service together. And I'd like to invite JJ to open this space for us with a prayer.
Thank you, Gary. And space is a good word to use because we're going to talk about that as we go within. So let's start with a big, deep breath, letting the diaphragm just slingshot down into the belly, all the way up into the chest, and then just letting go. And I want to start with expanding the chest so that we can take in more breath and more life. And those who know me know that I believe that the body can hold us back by building up blocks and cemented, iced up places in the living waters of us. And so when we go inside the temple of us and work with that, the light just shines through better. So as you move your shoulder around, start with your left shoulder. I want you to go on the inside of your shoulder and your chest and just begin a spiraling motion with your awareness, the awareness that is like a pinpoint laser beam going down the back, the middle, circling the front, the top, big circles as you spiral around this left side of you. Let the diaphragm breathe as the way it wants to. And if the body wants to move as you are opening up and becoming aware of opening up this side of your body, going around the heart, opening that up. And knowing that you're going to have to come back to these places to reconnect and make sure that you have a good connection to this temple that is holding the light of you. And so when you get over to the sternum, and I know I'm moving quickly, but let's just learn and put this in a practice of ours for later. But another deep breath, and we're going to go straight across on the right side. A big circle of awareness. The top around the lungs, all the way down. The diaphragm is the bottom of it, all the way up, spiraling over, coming around the lungs, the liver giving life, all the way around this cavity that we have, this big room that holds most of our vital organs, all the way around to the side, right side, and the shoulder. Being on the inside of us. And as we've been working on the inside, we understand that we are mostly space filled with light and filled with that light energy that we can sense and feel. And as we become more aware of what's happening in our bodies, in our temple, we can open up and shed more light, radiate more light outwards. And as we come together in this time of community and community service, we know that communing in this wonderful energy, opening up to the realization that we are one, coming together in a beautiful constellation, filled with visions, filled with hope in our hearts, knowing that we are one and feeling the beginning of the birth of something new, a new consciousness right here at Sunrise Ranch as we work this together, as we practice. Thank you, God, for this time together, for the people who are bringing this service to us as we open up and commune and make our community just brighter. Thank you, God, for this time together, and then just let it go and let it be. And this is a wonderful thing. So it is. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, JJ. Oh, man, everybody else, I feel a little loosened up, more relaxed. That was a couple minutes ago. So I'm honored to be able to spend this time with all of you here tonight. A couple weeks ago, Uma asked me if I would be willing to focus this Wednesday night service while she's traveling. And I've been meditating on it over the past few weeks, and there's been something of a line of thought that's been unfolding for me that I'm really looking forward to sharing with you guys tonight. It's been a great meditation for me to go into this, and it's my hope and desire that we all, in some way, leave this time tonight with two very specific concepts firmly pressed into our awareness so that Well, our awareness expands, because I believe that's an important part of raising our vibration. Expanding our consciousness is expanding awareness. After all, they say in a quantum field, everything is already there. It's just, what are we aware of as possible? So we've got some big goals and missions. We want to increase the realm of what's possible and what we have the capacity and ability to access out of that possibility. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. At the same time, I'm going to be presenting some things that I can't exactly pinpoint where I learned them all from. Yeah, I've been learning things my entire life, and sometimes they go into the vault and then they get mixed up and some other stuff comes in, maybe with spirits, and it comes out and I don't know where it all comes from. But I'm going to the best of my ability, share what I see and my understandings. I'm going to prelude by saying I'm not the authority of these things. I'm a student that's learning them, and so I'm speaking them, but I'm also going to speak authoritatively from my own point of understanding, and know that I'm also not the example of all of these things. I'm someone who's trying to learn and understand and implement them in my own self for my own growth, and just want to share what I see. And if it's of value, then that's a beautiful thing. And well, I'm just going to stop there and assume there's something of value for everyone. So here we are. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. The day after that is Christmas. We're on the brink. Christmas has been the theme. And what comes up for me in celebrating Christmas is the main word of Christmas, which is Christ, and celebrating Christhood. And as I begin to think further on what is Christhood, what is that unique something that sets apart this experience of Christhood from any other normal human experience? You know, we might have a room full of Christs here, and we might have a room full of people who are aspiring Christs and wanting to birth that Christhood even more, to expand it further into our own being, our own knowingness, our own expression. Because I think that's going to be important in us reaching our mission of transforming consciousness, of spiritual regeneration of the humanity. Starts right here within my humanity and regenerating that with spirit. So the thing that I recognize, or what comes up for me that's most important, that sets apart the experience of Christhood, is unconditional love. Unconditional love. The name in itself, unconditional, so that's like without any judgment. It's without any sort of set of particular circumstance or influence required in order for there to be the presence of love. As humans, I can recognize in myself, when I watch my own internal atmosphere and when I look out in the world, you know, we carry a lot of conditions on our love. We just do in our culture to be conditional with our love. And that's why it's so rare to find that unconditional love that says, regardless of any influence or circumstance, regardless of any other factor, love at its highest degree possible is present. My computer's saying my internet connection is unstable. Are you guys hearing me okay? Lots of nods. That's a good sign. Keep coming, blessed one. So as I begin to think about this idea of unconditional love and what that means, one particular phrase comes up in the forefront of my mind as a quote from Jesus. And it's about being in the world, but not of the world. In the world, not of the world. And so, meditating further on what that means, it's obvious that in order to achieve that type of experience of being in the world but not of the world, we have to be operating from a different point of orientation than is normal, is common in the human experience. Not from the personality point of the world, I think relates a lot to what we have taught and studied in this ministry for so long as the one law. And it's this very easy dynamic of radiation and response. And then it follows all the way out, as we all know, with attraction, union, unified radiation. So what it is, if I am responding to the things of the world, then that kicks off a line of cause and effect. I end up radiating back out into the world that which it is that I'm receiving and from the world. What I'm responding to the world, I receive from the world. That comes through me, cycles, and it comes back out of me as what I'm radiating. And therefore, I am then of the world. I'm in the world. I'm worldly. And in fact, some of what I'm about to share may seem like inaccurate or controversial because it goes against that which is worldly. And most of what we're taught in this world is how to be and function in this world. But if we could learn everything that we needed to from the world in order to how to be spiritual, how to be Christed, how to bring this restoration, then we wouldn't still be needing it because we'd all have already learned it and we're all already doing it because that's the way of the world. But it's not. When we're responding to the way of the world, we are in the ways of the world and we are being of the world. So we have to, I think, bring more focus onto not only becoming very discerning, using that guardian angel for what it is that we're responding to and giving our attention and energy to, but even more specifically, focusing on the quality of what it is that we're radiating without concern for what's coming back, the returning cycle. And this is that famous phrase we all love, you know, radiate without concern for results. The results is the returning cycle. And if we're concerned upon the returning cycle, it's almost like we radiate with some sort of expectation of what's going to come back from what we radiate. And if things don't match up, well, you know, I know from my own experience of expectations, it's not the expectation that gets you, it's the attachment to it working out a certain way that I expect. And then when that doesn't happen, I fall. But if I can let go of what's coming back and simply focus on what I'm putting out, then I have a very simple thing of just checking whether I'm in a frequency of love. And that's all that really matters. Is there any condition that takes me out of radiating and being in that frequency of love? It's an important thing for me to track within myself because it's easy to fall into some other space. Been trained in how to do it since the day we were born as humans. And so I have to choose what my response is. If I'm not responding to the world, then I have to learn how to respond to that which is the eternal, that which lives forever, rather than that which is temporal, which is everything in our physical reality. And if I can do that, then I'm free from that attachment. And the attachment is what creates the suffering, like the attachment of the expectation. Buddha taught this about the key to release ourselves from suffering is to release from the attachments to things. And there are two things that have come up for me in my meditation that create attachments and keep me in a space of responding to the world and operating in and of the world. And these are the two things that I want us all to just, I just want to be so very clear on this and make it easy to understand. These two things, meaning and importance. Meaning and importance. When we get I believe the mind, the mind, the ego mind, the conscious mind, the active mind gets wrapped up in these two things, meaning and importance. And it takes us way out of the present moment. And before we know it, we're just of the world. And the love vibration is a little more difficult because those things have to melt in order to find our way back into just pure presence. So here's what I mean when I use those two words. One of them is meaning. I heard it taught somewhere that humans, we are meaning-making machines. We can make meaning out of anything and put meaning onto anything. We just do. It's all part of this entire thing of creating a story. And then we have to have these all these teachings about letting go and letting go of the story that we've created because of all the meaning that we've put onto things that take us completely out of any present moment reality. And so what I see and I want to share is that there's two ways this happens. We express in lots of different ways. There's so many different ways that we're able to express ourselves. And our expression is encoded with meaning by the giver of the expression. So if I sing or I create a piece of music, I'm charging that music with all this meaning and substance of what it means to me. When I tell a story, when I create a sentence, like Jesus, when he shared a parable, there was meaning that he encoded in the symbols. You know, David's been talking a lot about symbology lately, and there is meaning encoded in all of it, because anything that is expressed is essentially encoded with the meaning of the one who created that expression. And so anyone can somehow in different ways feel and tap into that expression and connect with the meaning that it has for that person and what they wanted to convey through that expression. So meaning is available everywhere. It is already everywhere. We can see it anywhere. But we do an interesting thing as humans is when we receive information, when we receive other people's expressions, it runs through these filters of how we see the world. And then as it moves through those filters, we create and project meaning of our own onto something that may not have the meaning already encoded in it as that. And we've all done it. Anybody who's ever taken anything personal has a personal experience of what that's like. Somebody says something and all of a sudden it means this over here. And I don't like what that meant, even though there's no guarantee that that's what that person meant. That's what it meant for us. So that's the story we're going to live out of. And so we got all this meaning wrapped up into it. Now we're not present in that moment. We're dwelling in the meaning. Meaning can go all kinds of places. So we do this. We assign meaning to things. We create stories out of the meaning that we've assigned. And then before you know it, we're living out of an illusion, completely in our own mind. Whether that's actually happening or not, that's where we're living from. And then our love is extremely conditional based on whether or not we like the story that we're telling ourselves about what just happened or what that person means with what they said. So we gotta see that. Gotta see it. Gotta get real with it because it's gotta go. And it can be replaced. It can be replaced. It's replaced with neutrality. Neutrality. Neutrality transcends the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's able to assign good, evil, right, wrong, good, bad. All that assignment that the conscious mind busies with is lost. It melts away in the space of neutrality. We can then be inside of this space of acceptance and allowance, allowing things to just be as they are. There's the phrase, it is what it is. It's a really popular phrase. But I see it being thrown around a lot. Sometimes it could be misused, as every phrase and every teaching could be misused. But it says something. It says it, just let it be what it is. Whatever it is, we don't have to define it. We don't have to put meaning on it. We don't have to make it into something. Just let it be whatever it is. There's this wisdom in the story about this old man who, I don't even know if I can, I'm going to butcher the story. I know I am. But there's something about this old man and his son, and he's got a farm, and something happens, like the horse kicks the son, and the son breaks his leg, and they're like, oh, how sad, your son broke his leg, and he's like, we shall see. And then war happens, and all the young men are drafted, except for his son isn't drafted because he's got a broken leg, and it's like, oh, how lucky you are, your son won't go to war, and he's like, we shall see. And I don't know, some other things happen, and the townspeople are like, oh, that's a good thing, or oh, that's a bad thing. And this man of wisdom is just like, we shall see. That story represents the space of neutrality, of not needing to assign good or bad to something, but just letting it be whatever it is, and then letting it unfold and seeing what comes about. And we can only be in that space when we're willing to let go of giving ourselves the job of attributing meaning. Doesn't mean there's not meaning in things. Life is full of meaning. But there's a difference between feeling into something and letting it inform you and trying to inform that thing of what it is. So that's one of the things, I think, that it makes one radically move out of the space of being of the world, is letting go of meaning and the need to assign and attribute it. And embracing neutrality, I think, is how we transition that space, because it's strong in human consciousness. It just is. I struggle with it myself. If I'm not being really conscious and intentional, I'll slip right back into it. Oh, what'd that person mean by that? And then there I am, having to find my neutral place again so that I can be in my joy. So the other thing besides meaning that I want to bring in, actually, you know what? Before we do that, let's work with meaning a little bit and go into a small group. We're going to do small groups of three, and we're going to take 10 minutes for a small group conversation on this topic, to like really, really land it home inside of our own experience, because I recognize all I'm doing is sharing concepts. I'm sharing concepts, and to whatever degree we can recognize these and say, yeah, I've had that experience too. I know what that's like to be in meaning, and I know what it's also like to shift into neutrality and find the freedom from letting that go. Because that freedom comes from the observer point. The kind of like stepping outside of yourself and being in the situation and being able to just observe it, let it be whatever it is. And then we have the power to be at choice, because we're not being pushed and pulled by all of the outer factors. So we're going to take 10 minutes, go into a small group of three, and we're going to share about a time when you recognized taking something personal and then subtracted the meaning, let go of a story, and found a place of sharing love. So when you recognized you took something personal, and then you reversed the process by saying, you know what, that didn't mean as much, I'm not going to create a story over it, and then came back into a place of recognizing love. Well, welcome back, everybody. I hope that was a generative conversation that happened. I got to talk with Chase, and there was something that he said that stimulated in me, is mention of this question that comes up for him of like, why difficult for me to sometimes just let things go and just let things be the way they are. Like sometimes that's really difficult for me. And I know what he means. Sometimes it's difficult for me too. I'm sure it is for everybody in their own way. What I've noticed, I think one part of the answer to that was the other thing that was revealed to me in my meditations on this. And I promised you two concepts. One is meaning, and the other is importance. It's because I think it's tough for us to let things go and let them be the way they are because we have some sense of importance wrapped up around how it should be. It's supposed to be this way and it's important. And so I feel like I need to like control it and make it be that way or get upset at it because it's not. And that sense of importance, meaning and importance, that's another thing that I think just takes us, boom, right out of being able to just be still in love. And here's why I see that way. Importance is based off of a value-based judgment system. So it's something the conscious mind just naturally does is we go around and we classify and identify and we judge and we assign values to things. And this thing is important and maybe this thing is not as important or this thing is more important than this thing. And it's automatically, it puts us in this space of comparison. Now, again, like I said at the beginning, this is going against many prominent teachings of how we do things, how we're effective and efficient and how we be in the world. But this is about not being of the world, but something different, which is releasing all of the ideas around importance that we have, around what is important. Because as soon as we begin to go into that comparison, there's a phrase that says, comparison is the thief of joy. It steals all our joy when we begin to make this thing more important than this thing. Importance is relevant to influences and circumstances. In this particular setting, this thing has a higher importance because it can produce this type of experience, which has a high degree of value for me personally in this particular setting and experience. Think about it. If you're in a room full of people at a party, how important is that cell phone to you? Not that important, probably, because you're chatting up other people. You're stranded on the side of the road. How important is that cell phone to you? It's pretty darn important. Same thing, but the importance changes. It shifts depending on your events, your circumstances, and your opinion of it. Our perspective determines our idea of evaluation of importance. So we have two different types of importances that we seem to kind of project onto things. And I see it as there's event importance and then self-importance. And these are two things that I think a lot of people deal with that trip us up. We think that something happening in a certain way is so important, lost in different phrases like the ends justify the means because of the importance. What is that really saying? That's saying that I'm willing to sacrifice the quality of my radiation in order to achieve a particular result. The end justifies the means. The complete opposite of Christhood teachings, but it works in the world. And we're not here to be of the world, even though we have to be in the world. So if we can reduce that importance of events, and one way that I've found to help to do that is with the attempt to embrace the idea of eternity. Replacing the eternal with the temporal, right? We're replacing the temporal with the eternal. It's very difficult for us to really comprehend eternity because we're in a time-space reality with a certain amount of times. And and things unfold over time in lines of cause and effect. But if you think about, let's say, 1,000 years, not even close to eternity, in 1,000 years, how much does any of this really matter? That thing you did, that thing you're supposed to do, that you're wanting to do, that somebody else did, does it really matter in all that time? No, it's not going to matter that much. What matters is your experience in the moment of doing the thing, your vibration, what you're radiating through you in the experience of doing that thing. That's what matters. Because there's only one moment. That's what's most important. Not how something turns out, not the results, not the returning cycle. So these events, we've created all these importance onto them. And sometimes things are important. Don't get me wrong. There are things that need to be done, or cause and effect's going to step in and this is going to happen, and you might not like that experience. So to avoid having that experience, it's important that you do this. Just like things have meaning, things have importance. But where we get tripped up is assigning and attaching importance onto things based off of our ideas. Then there's self-importance. And we do this all the time too. It comes from comparison. There's an inflation and a deflation of self-importance that seems to go like hand in hand, married with meaning. Somebody says this thing, that means there's something wrong with me. My importance just dropped in my own mind. Or somebody says this thing, that means there's something right with me. My importance just went way up. And this is all, we could all say ego stuff as well. It's something we all experience because we're all human. We all came into this same boat to have this experience to transcend these things that come up in us. And what I found, just as neutrality is a key to balancing out meaning, equality is the key to balancing out importance. Equality is based in the law of oneness. And we all believe in oneness, but oneness actually says that everything is one. How could one thing be more important than another thing if it's all one same thing? Different expressions, different variations of one thing. It's all important, or none of it's important. You get to choose how you relate to the world, how you live your life. But when we stop variating one thing as being more important than another and relating it to it that way, and we make brushing our teeth as important as mowing the lawn, if we make being kind to someone in a store as important as saying the right thing in a meeting to get recognition, then it doesn't matter, because we're not concerned on what's coming back from those returning cycles. We're concerned on how we're being in a moment and what qualities of radiation are coming through. Another part of like the power of the creator is that one miracle is no more important than another miracle. If there's infinite power available within spirit in the universe, it does not discern the power that it takes to grow a flower as being more important than the power it takes to generate $1 million. The power it takes to feed someone who's starving is not less than the power it takes to raise up a nation to heights of influence. It's all the same. It's infinite power. The power is the same no matter how it's used, how it's directed, how it's given. And we are creators. This isn't just talking about God doing miracles. This is talking about us being a creator, bringing forth miracles. And a lot of the reasons that we maybe block our own miracle manifestations is because of the amount of meaning and importance we assign on a miracle and thinking, oh, that's too big, too much, maybe not possible. So got to drop that out. Bring in the equality. It says the macro, micro, it's all the same. And one of the ways that I find that I can do that in myself is by focusing on content over context. Context is situational. It says, in this situation, in this event, with these particular factors present. This is how I need to be to work to get the result that I want. And that is oftentimes very accurate, and it is very of the world. And you can create a lot of experiences that way. But if your content is loving expression, then it doesn't matter what the context is. Your content is the same. It's always loving expression, regardless of anything else. Somebody appreciates you, love them. Somebody doesn't appreciate you, love them. Something happens, you like it, you don't like it, give gratitude. When you have that stability, and again, I'm not saying I mastered any of this, I'm learning it, I'm working it, I'm trying to get more conscious and intentional with being in those spaces more consistently. I'm just sharing what's coming up for me in my meditations over the past few weeks of what makes that difference between a Christed human experience and just a regular kind of personality-focused, ego-filled human experience. Because I know one of them very well. My whole life I have. And I want the other one. And I know we do too. And if anything, Christmas is a time to remind us of a being that showed us that example of what is possible. Put me on a cross. I still love and forgive you. So with the 10 minutes we have left, I did have some ideas about another small group conversation, but I just actually want to maybe invite you into the space of thinking for yourself, or maybe having a conversation with a friend at another point in time about how you see that you attribute value and a sense of importance to events or people, and how you can reduce that importance and release that attribution in order to bring forth greater equality and peace. Because I guarantee if there's any hint of comparison and judgment in there, you're robbing yourself of your natural joy. And, you know, it's inevitable that whatever we're experiencing in our own emotional field gets radiated out to others, and we affect each other all the time. So I just want to open this up now into the large group and see what's out there. If anything's been stimulated, you know, I want these two ideas of meaning and importance to be strong in awareness, so that we're aware and we begin to recognize when these things are happening in our in consciousness, and can bring in this medicine of neutrality and equality, so that we can be in the world and not of it. And I just want to open this up to the group now. Thanks for listening.
When everything is a blessing that comes your way, when you're open to life, that's what life is telling you. Everything is a blessing. Everything that life offers, might it be a challenge, might it be love, might it be meeting new people, our way of looking at things needs, as you were saying, Gary, need to change in that perspective, and just be open to whatever comes our way, to bless it, to be part of it, and to be an active part in that, to be the one that needs to be in that place at that time. So thank you very much for this share.
I think for me, one of the perspectives that supports my spiritual path is that I'm a soul, or I'm a spirit, I'm higher self, and everything that comes to me is for my highest good. That my soul is saying, oh, here's where your consciousness is. Oh, let's reflect something out here. And then when it comes back, if I'm in a neutral place and I'm in that embodiment of who I truly am, then there's no attachment. If I have a reaction to it, it's like, oh, wow, you know, so something triggered something in my personality, because it's still in my consciousness. It's an opportunity. Everything's an opportunity, regardless of how light, dark, whatever color, size, shape, it's an opportunity to look at my consciousness and see what's happening inside. And then I have the choice to accept it as it is and then say, I'm going to transmute this. I'm going to shift my consciousness to a higher place. So everything's an opportunity to show me what my consciousness is doing out in the world. And that's how I look at it. And I also say, well, everybody's soul has made its own plan. My plan's different than somebody else's. So stick with my plan, stay on my highway, and then let everybody else work on their highway. And if I try to get in the middle of somebody else's highway, you know, I'm interfering with and judging their soul's journey. And that's what keeps me more neutral. Thank you.
Well, to me, what has supreme meaning and supreme importance is simply aligning the body of humanity with universal being. And insofar as my own life is contributing to that, then I have meaning, I have importance. But that to me is the essence of our work. That is the most important thing. Unless that is done, there's no point for this Earth project to continue. And so whatever I can do, just in the release of blessing that Michelle was talking about, releasing that signature vibration of love, that immediately begins to align my own life with universal being, with the cosmic whole. And through that, I plant something in the subconscious mind of the body of humanity that will move that body into alignment with the cosmic whole, with universal being. That to me is the only meaning of my life. It's the only meaning of life. It is of supreme importance, and everything I do is dedicated to that and to that alone.
I made reference to this in my small group earlier, but it feels like it's good to bring again. I hope you forgive me for bringing it again. And that is that making a conscious decision, a mental decision, is certainly important. But sometimes the circumstance is not quite that simple. And less than 2 hours ago, I had an experience with my youngest son that in pretty much, I can't say totally, but to a high degree, requires of me to make a decision from the heart. We got into a conversation about the necessity for, in his mind, for vaccinations because of the COVID situation. He's a 43-year-old married man with two young daughters, 5 and 3. I'll shorten it, make it very short, but in the reality is I have not made the decision that a vaccination is going to be right for me. And he basically said, well, you will never see your granddaughters again if you don't. And that's how the call ended. I just bring that to emphasize, not to overemphasize the difficult sides of the decisions that we have to make, but just it is always or maybe ever just a decision of the mind. The heart is probably involved. And in this case for me, that's what I'm listening to. And gosh, it's hard to think that I might never see my granddaughters again. That's the reality.
Thank you, Lindell, for that share. That's definitely heart goes out to you in that situation. And you bring up such a vital point to the conversation. See, what I'm wanting to convey here is not that there is no meaning or that there is no importance. In fact, I believe that everything has meaning and everything is important. And the heart knows the difference. The heart has the ability to touch into the meaning and importance that's inherently there. But when the mind gets in and starts trying to attribute meaning and importance onto things, that's when we trip ourselves up. So whatever all of this has to do with Christmas, I don't know, but that's how I got here. And just wanted to share my love and invite us all into a greater experience of Christhood, hoping that this is the key that helps get us there. Each one, and we all make together everyone, because we are one, and I love you. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. It was wonderful.
Everyone. Hi, Dad.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Holy Days.
Yes. See you on Christmas.
Thank you, Gary.
That was wonderful. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it so much. You.